I wish to talk to you today about the most wonderful thing in the world. What is that, do you ask? I say that the most wonderful thing in the world is the love of God. The love of God is unique. There's nothing like it. It's the expression of His own nature. The Bible declares that God is love. Divine love, therefore, is of God. And consequently, love, the love of God, is in perfect accord with His holy, righteous character. It's in perfect balance with His wisdom and His judgment. This is the most wonderful thing in the world. Now, the world has its own thoughts about what love is, and those who are not taught of God mistake mere sentiment or emotionalism or human affection and love for the love of God. Now, this is a delusion. Surely, everyone likes to be loved. Everyone likes to believe and speak of love. The world needs a lot of love, people are saying. Well, there are all kinds of different thoughts of love. But unless we know and possess divine love, the love of God, dear friends, we don't know and possess the most wonderful thing in the world. Now, the most wonderful thing in the world is not of the world at all. And that the love of God is in contrast to the world and love for the world and the things of the world is clearly revealed in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. I read them. I quote, "Love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." The world is the world's system of things, a world away from God, a world governed by man's lust and pride, whose God and prince is Satan himself. This is the world that John speaks of. And he continues to write, quote, "And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." However, though the most wonderful thing in the world is not of the world, the most wonderful thing in the world is for the world, not for the world system. That's under judgment. But it is for the habitable part of the world, the people that are in the world, and all the people that are in the world. Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the world of sinners, sinners who are lost and ruined by the fall of man, sinners that are in bondage to sin, slaves to sin, rebels toward God, because of their sin, enemies in heart and mind by wicked works. Yes, this is the world of sinners that God loves. Dear friend, you are part of this world. Do you not realize it? And has it ever occurred to you that God, the God that you may not wish to think about, the God who you do not perhaps personally know, but the God that you must think about sooner or later. And dear friend, the sooner you think about him, the better. For you're going to meet him someday, and you're going to have to give account of yourself to him. You cannot escape this. You're going to meet him in your sins. Either now, in the day of grace, and receive the salvation that his love has provided, or in a coming day when time is over, and in eternity, you are brought before him in your sins to be judged in your sins, and then to be banished from his presence and from his love forever. It's either one or the other. You're going to meet God. Now, it is you that God loves, and he so loved you. Let me draw attention to some of the revelations of his love in the Holy Bible. The Bible is his love letter to you, dear friend. Have you regarded it as such? I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, the person of the God who is in this world to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and whose delight it is to take the things of Christ and show them unto us, that he, through his word, will lay hold of your heart today, and that you will be drawn by the cords of the love of God, to be drawn out of your hiding place where you are now away from God, to be drawn from your pride, from your lust, from your greed, to be drawn just as you are by the love of God to him who loves you. Now, the most wonderful thing in the world was fully manifested nearly 2,000 years ago. In 1 John chapter 4, we read these words. Notice carefully. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What a marvelous revelation, manifestation. What a display of divine love. There was never such love as this. Oh, dear friends, it is love superlative, love to the nth degree, shall we say. The Lord Jesus himself, when here, said, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. But just think, the love of God provided a substitutionary sacrifice for his enemies. Now, that's what we all are by nature. And if we're not saved, if we don't belong to God, we're still enemies. We don't wish God. We don't want to retain him in our mind. And the fool has said in his heart, no God for me. But, dear friend, this love of God has been manifested. It's been proven. It was displayed when Christ came into the world. He came into the world to save sinners. Now, there was no love in our hearts for him that brought him here. No. Dear friend, you and I are not born with a little spark of love in our hearts toward God and all that we are told that is needed, that it is fanned a little bit and it'll grow. That is not the truth. That is satanic error. The Bible tells us that there is none good, no, not one. The natural man is at enmity against God. No good in creatures can be found. And in the verses that we read, in 1 John, we notice it says, not that we love God. There was no love there. But that he loved us. How this enhances the love. Love undeserved. Love to those that deserved his judgment. This is the quality of love, divine love. And it is love that led to sacrifice. Love that led to the giving of the greatest gift that could be given, his only begotten Son. This is the measure of his love. Amazing, divine, his only begotten Son. Truly, we read, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What a wonderful manifestation of the love of God. But now we notice in Romans chapter 5 that the most wonderful thing in the world, the love of God, is commended to us. I read, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This matchless love is commended, dear friend, and it's commended to you. Does it not mean something to you that love so amazing, so divine, so undeserved is commended to you? It's really actually being pressed upon you. The Spirit of God would strive with you. By the love of God, he would win you. He would draw you. He commends it to you. a holy, righteous, loving God commends his love to you. And he tells you that the proof of his love is seen in that Christ died for you. Is not that sufficient proof of love? Greater love hath no man than this. And the work necessary to remove your sins was all done, dear friend, by the Son of God on the cross of Calvary. Peter tells us he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. It was there that he died. He, the provision of God's love for you. Why? That you might live through him. Now, this is what he commends to you. Let me ask you, my friend, can you say with millions who have by faith accepted the commendation of God's love, those who can say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, let me ask, can you say that? Right now, stop where you are. Can you say from your heart, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me? And in saying it, you believe it. You have received his commendation. You have believed his manifestation. Oh, dear friend, this is what God desires that you should do. He wants that you should personally appropriate the gift of his love to yourself. If you do, then we will notice in 1 John chapter 3 that the most wonderful thing in the world is bestowed upon you. I quote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Now, personal faith in him, that is, coming to him just as you are, being drawn by his love to himself by his Son, and receiving the gift of his love, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your own personal Savior, what does this do? Well, this bestows upon you this wonderful fact. It bestows his love that makes you one of his children. You become a child of God in the family of God. Now, this is not what you are by nature as you come into this world. Oh, no. This is what it means to be born again. This is what Jesus said, ye must be born again. And you must. When you receive him as Savior, when you believe on him, you are born again. And it is then, and only then, and not before, that God becomes your Father. Now, if there's never been a time in your life when you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, personally appropriating his love and the gift of his love to you, you are not a child of God. We are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, as we read in Galatians. It is then that you, as becoming a child in the family of God, receive the life and the nature of God. The life that you receive is eternal, and the nature that you receive is love. Hear again the words of the Lord Jesus when he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The moment that you trust in him in this way, coming to him just as you are, being drawn by your love from your hiding place with your sins to meet him, and in simple faith, accepting Christ as your Savior, you receive that moment everlasting life. You are born into God's family. And we're born again by the Word of God and by the power of the Spirit of God. Do you have this wonderful gift of everlasting life? The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. John tells us in his epistle, he that hath the Son hath life. Do you have this life? And then, it is true that that same moment, being born of the Spirit through the Word and receiving everlasting life, we read in Romans 5 that the love of God is then shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. Think of it. the one who is born of God is born of the Spirit and indwelt by the Spirit, receives the Spirit of God immediately upon believing, Ephesians 1:13. And the love of God, then, is shed abroad in our heart. Let me ask you, dear friend, do you have this everlasting life? Do you possess this divine love? Now, if so, it is then that you have the capacity to love. And the greatest, most wonderful thing in the world is yours and can be expressed by you. As we read in 1 John 4 again, we love Him because He first loved us. We love, we have the capacity to love because He first loved us. The most wonderful thing in the world, then, is that which gives us the capacity to love here in this world as He loved us, to love one another, to have compassion and love for those that are lost. And this love of God, so rich, so full, so free, it's based upon the perfect righteousness of God, which is witnessed in the death of Christ at Calvary. This love, I say, this most wonderful thing in the world, casts out all your fear. Think of it. Because we know that we who have trusted Him shall never come into judgment. Love's work in providing a Savior completely satisfied a holy, righteous God, so that love has triumphed over our sin in the death of Calvary. The Lord Jesus at Calvary died and triumphed over sin, over death, over hell. It was love's provision. Love made the way. And when you come to Him, you belong to Him. You are His and His forever. Do you know anything about this love? Let me read the words that give us the truth as to the triumph and the victory of this love. In Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The most wonderful thing in the world is the believers forever. No separation. This is the triumph, I say, of love. My friend, do you know this love of God? Have you received it? Have you received the gift of His love, the Savior, who was manifested to take away your sins? And one whom God commends to you? Has this love bestowed upon you this wonderful blessing of being one of His children through faith in Him? Oh, God, grant that today you will allow His love, which was manifested so wonderfully at Calvary, draw your heart and yourself to Him. Come to Him just as you are. And be assured that that love will ever provide for you all your needs for time and for eternity. May God bless His word to every listener today. Loving God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy love, and may it draw every listener to Thyself, to put simple faith and trust in Thee, to become one of Thy children in Thy family, to enjoy and possess that love for time and eternity. We ask it, giving Thee thanks, in His most worthy and precious name. the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.